Our scripture reading comes from Joshua. I'll be reading from Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 this morning. Hear these words. The Lord said to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his word this morning. Well, hello, Central Houston. It is so good to be with you. I was sharing with your pastor this morning. I just drove downtown with the biggest smile on my face for two reasons. Number one, the traffic. And I don't know, as I say that, the conviction of the Spirit is I don't know that I should rejoice in that. The hope would be the Sunday morning commute should look just like our workday commute, but it was wide open lanes. It's as if the Lord is saying, "I'm going to get you to the church in a very good mood this morning." So I'm thankful for that, but I tell you, I'm also thankful just to see what the Lord is doing with you. Isn't God faithful? I just look around and I see this church and I see the faithfulness of you and your leadership and I see the community where you are placed. You know, as I parked, I spent a little time just praying outside, walking around the building, and my heart just goes for people in our backyard. There are people in your backyard here who do not know that the gospel is good news. They don't know that the gospel is good news. Now, I don't know if you notice, good news doesn't always lead on the nightly news every day. But friends, the truth is, the gospel is good news. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So here's what that tells me. It tells me that Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is tilling up the mission field. My friends, you are on the mission field. We have seen the faithfulness of God. So here's to all that God has in store. Someone say amen. To God be the glory. I'm preaching before I even preach. That's bonus content. You're welcome. All right, I want to talk to you today. I just felt the Lord leading me to, you know, anytime I preach at the Woodlands Methodist, I always invite the Lord, preach it to me first. So anytime I preach a message, I want you to know this is a message that the Lord has really been convicting me with. And I want to talk about fearless faith today. There was a story that caught my attention. This is many years ago, but I love it. Someone said, you know, when you read your Bible, have the newspaper open at the same time. And I think what they're saying there is look around, because there's stories of redemption. The Spirit is working all around us. And the story was a little community, a neighborhood community, and they were in Toronto. And this small little subdivision with some houses in an area, they had an issue, they had a problem, and the problem was this: it was a pothole. It's good to know that our neighbors up north have the same problems that we have down here, right? They had a pothole in their neighborhood. Now, it wasn't just any normal pothole. If you saw it, it was a ginormous pothole. And they had petitioned the city to fix this thing because it was A, an eyesore. B, it was dangerous. It was a two-lane road. You had to kind of merge over into oncoming traffic to get around it. And the third point was it was knocking cars out of alignment. It was that large. So they petitioned the city to fix it. The city tried to fix it, but to no success. It just seemed to be getting larger. But then the day happened that things changed. And we don't know who did it. The news story couldn't identify who was responsible. But one morning, as the neighbors were leaving for their early morning commute, they noticed something in that pothole that they had never seen before. And it was this. There were these plants that were growing out of the pothole. Apparently, some bold neighbor decided that in the cover of darkness in the middle of the night, they unloaded about six big bags of potting soil, and they planted five tomato plants in the middle of this pothole. Now, I don't know if they were trying to be funny, but something happened, summertime, and guess what? All of a sudden, these beautiful, big, robust tomatoes began to grow out of this pothole. And here's what happened. The same neighborhood that was petitioning to have this fixed, all of a sudden, they started to guard and protect a new community garden that had just been established in their neighborhood. Let me ask you a question. When you have a battle in your path, when you have an eyesore, when you have something, conflict, a challenge in your life, when there's something that shakes your faith and it leads you to just say, I don't know if I'm going to keep the alignment of your soul. Is it possible that just maybe in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the uncertainty, is it possible, my friends, that God actually wants to grow something beautiful? Maybe we're not called to drive around it. Maybe we're not called to cower down, but maybe we're called to embrace the uncertainty because God has the promise of growing something beautiful if we're just going to let him do his work. You know, they say that, I remember a long time ago, I was driving my wife's Prius, and this was in Shreveport, Louisiana. I was in Louisiana for a while, and little bitty car, and I'm just chugging along going 45. That's about how fast the Prius could go at the time. That's fine. And a Ford F-150, a big, big truck, he just didn't look to see if I was coming, and he pulled out in front of me. And if you've ever almost been in an accident, I was, what do? You just tense up. I remember the last thing I thought was, ooh, this is going to hurt. And you tense up. But what if in these seasons of conflict and battle, rather than clench your fists and cower down, what if you open up your hands and say, Lord, what are you teaching me here in this moment? Joshua got to go to school. The Lord got to meet him and remind him that, look, fearless faith actually looks like this, this, and this. So I just want to say, all right, in Joshua 1, what's the Lord saying to Joshua? And by chance, you're in a battle today. It's not a matter of if, by the way, it's when. What does Jesus say to us here, Central Houston, in 2024? It's a good word. Would you join me? I want to pray for us before we get into this. Bow your heads and let's pray. Well, gracious and loving Father, I'm thankful for the opportunity, just this opportunity we have, everyone in this room, because today is a new day. Lamentations reminds us that your mercies are new. Every single day, we have breath in our lungs, and it's your breath, Father. That there is a new story to be written. So I just say, speak this morning, Lord, for your servants are listening. Thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would use me now. That you would speak through me and if not through me, in spite of me. So that your will and your words can be heard. Ultimately, Lord, this is all about you. So thank you for your word that is here for us all today. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, God's people said, amen. Let me give you just a little bit of context of Joshua chapter 1 to kind of understand this story, to understand where Joshua is in this moment. I believe that Joshua really is looking in two different directions. I believe Joshua is looking back. He is looking at a friend. He is looking at a mentor. And honestly, I think Joshua would probably say, in regards to Moses, that he was the GOAT. That means greatest of all time, in case you don't know. I mean, the last thing we have recorded of Moses at the end of Deuteronomy is this: for no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. And guess what? Moses isn't there with him anymore. Moses is gone. And I feel like Joshua finds himself in this moment where he's looking back thinking, well, I'm not Moses. You want to know? You know God has a sense of humor, right? I hope you know that. It's going to make your life a lot easier if you know God has a sense of humor. The last time I preached Joshua 1 was January of 2020. Dr. Rob was close to retirement. I heard there was a short list of pastors who would succeed him. I heard that I was on the short list, but no one had told me I was the guy yet. And I remember in January of 2020 preaching Joshua, literally saying out loud, who wants to be the guy that follows the guy that led the people for over 40 years? No one wants to be that guy. Guess what? I didn't know then. The Trinity laughed because I was the guy that would follow the guy that led the people for over 40 years. That's why I love Joshua. He's looking back and he's saying, well, I'm not Moses. But you know what? He's also looking at, it's estimated, 1 million Israelites were looking at him now. And he sees in the night sky fires that are burning on the other side of the Jordan River. And guess what? God said the promised land is yours. Isn't it just like God to omit the fact that there are giants in them there hills? There's a battle that's waiting. He's looking behind and he's looking ahead. But here's the gentleness of God. Hear this. I can't say this enough. Your heavenly Father is so gentle. He's so gentle. And I think Joshua just has a moment. I think he's overwhelmed. He's looking at the size of the call. He's looking at the battle that's ahead of him. But the Lord just looks at him. And if you want to know what fearless faith looks like, I think it has to start here. You have to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. That's it. That's all we need to know. The battle belongs to the Lord. I think the most necessary place that we can be in our lives, are you ready? Is right here. Is the present. It's this moment. I read a study. These researchers did this study. It was fascinating. They polled all of these people and they found of the people that they studied, over half of their day was spent either thinking about what was coming or looking back at what was. Over half of your day. Imagine if that's true for a lifetime. We're living a life that is half alive or half present. So in the beginning here in Joshua 1:5, the Lord just says, Joshua, look down. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Listen to my voice. Be right here. Now, I have to say, I tell my congregation all the time, if you don't know me, I am brought to you by the letters A, D, H, and D. I would say struggled with ADHD my entire life, but I have to say, I've actually at 52 years of age learned that this is a superpower. But with that comes anxiety. I have struggled with anxiety. I have struggled with panic attacks. And I remember I was talking to a counselor not too long ago about just this anxiety waves that, and by the way, senior pastor, that's the perfect antidote to someone who has panic attacks and anxiety of one of the largest churches in the country. But I was telling my counselor these waves just come out of nowhere. And he looked at me, he said, can I give you some advice the next time this happens, the next time you feel your heart rate elevating, the next time you just feel like you're starting to just panic and lose control? He said, here's what you need to do. Whenever that happens, if you're in the car, you just need to call out the things that you see around you in the moment. So, tree. I'm in the woodlands, so we have a lot of those. Tree. Stoplight. Tesla. He says, just call it out, whatever you see. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, that just seems silly. What's the point of that? And he said, well, it's actually called grounding. What you're doing in that moment is you're taking your mind that's starting to spin and go in all these places, and you're actually bringing it back to the present. You know what's fascinating? Like, not long after that, I was reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus is talking about worry. He looks at the people in his sermon. He says, why do you worry? And guess what he does? He says, look at the birds of the air. Birds. Look at the lilies. Look at how your heavenly Father takes care of them. Oh, by the way, are you not more than they? Y'all, not only is Jesus my Savior, he truly is a wonderful counselor. He's grounding people in that moment. And I think to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord is to say, these potholes, these battles that are facing us, they're not ours. It's a cheesy preacher quote, but I'm here for all of them. Don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God actually is. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Will, not might, not maybe, you will. But aren't we thankful he didn't end there? He said, but you take heart, for I have overcome. He didn't say trouble. He said the world. So the first thing I think to remember when it comes to a fearless faith, you have to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. But the second thing I think God teaches Joshua is this. You also need to trust in his promises. Listen to what he said. He said, listen, be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. You meditate on it day and night. If you want to have strength to move forward, you need to remember that God's word will always be the answer that you're looking for. We need to be a people of his word. God's saying, I don't need another Moses. I had a Moses and he was faithful in his season. But what I need now is I need a Joshua who will still be of my word and their success for us. Not defined as the world would define it, but success is defined when we are a people of his word. Let me ask you, are you a people of his word? Are you letting his word get into you? Are you finding your comfort in his word or one of the many 24-hour news channels that don't always bring comfort? I love A.W. Tozer. Tozer said this about the word. He said, read it much, read it often, brood over it, think over it. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Why? Because the Holy Ghost wrote the word. And if you make much of the word, he will make much of you. It's through the word of God that he reveals himself. Between those covers is a living book. God is in this book. The Holy Ghost is in this book. And if you want to find him, get in the book. My friends, we need to be a people of his book. And spoiler alert, if you don't know the rest of Joshua's story, what's actually sweet is at his retirement party. Doesn't call it that, but I think it's kind of like a retirement party at the end of Joshua's life. He looks at the people, and before he tags them in and says, now it's your turn, he says, let me tell you what I've found over my life. He says, God is faithful. Be a people of his word. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. But you take the narrow and straight way, and what you'll find is you will find success every single time. He says, if there's idols in your house, if there's idols in your life, you need to get rid of them. Be a people of his word. And that's when he smiles and says, so it's up to you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the beginning of his story, he's reminded, be present. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's reminded to trust in the promises of God. But the last thing I would say is this, keep calm and carry on. Friends, you have to move. You have to advance the battle. You have to move towards the darkness. Even when you don't know how you're going to get through it, you have to keep moving forward. You'll pray the Lord's Prayer in just a few moments. And that part where we say, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, the only way that's going to happen is if we are a people of his word who are doing all we can to walk towards injustice, to walk towards the least and the lost, to remind people that they are seen. It should be our duty and joy to be a people who show people on earth what heaven looks like. The problem exists when we think it's just so much easier to wait here and just lament and wait until we get to heaven, until it gets easier. Friends, we're called to bring heaven to earth. We have to move towards the injustice. You know, I love Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't that good? I just put that in a coffee cup and just drink. It's so good. But the context of that, I think, is actually really funny when you look at that story. Moses, Joshua, apprenticed, watched. Moses, faithful, leads the people out of captivity. He now has a Red Sea in front of him. That's just a really large pothole. And he's standing there, and the ground starts to tremble and shake, and he looks. And here comes Pharaoh, here come the chariots, and here comes a battle that's coming up behind him. And the Israelites, standing between a giant sea and Pharaoh, start to panic. And I love Moses' heart diffusing the situation. Can I have your attention, please? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But you know what Exodus 14:15 says? Read it later. It's so good. The Lord's like, why are you standing there? Like, why are, Moses, take your staff. Like, put the staff down. Where you see an obstacle, where you see a sea, God, in his prevenient grace, had prepared a pathway. He just needed an obedient people who were willing to take him up to his word and to move forward, to advance. So friends, whatever the obstacle you have in your life, just walk any step forward. Just walk and know the Father delights in your obedience and your steps. My wife and I, we 9 months ago, we had our very first grandbaby come into the world. Everyone that says grandparenting is incredible, it's everything you want it to be and then some. And I don't want to brag. We're 9 months in. Simon is 9 months old. But I feel like we're succeeding as grandparents. My son is an area director of Young Life in Shreveport. And they had a Young Life conference in California. So little Simon came up and just stayed with me and my wife for 4 days. And why I think that we've succeeded is because we got him back in one piece, got him back to my son. He went back to Shreveport. And as soon as they got back, my son called and he said, Dad, what did you do to my child? And I said, I don't understand what you're saying. He said, when we dropped him off with you, he was not that needy. What did you do to my child? I said, we grandparented. That's what we did. And I just hung up the phone. Simon's 9 months old. He's starting to pull up on things. He's starting to get brave. He's starting to get bold. And I can't help but see my little grandbaby and think of my kids. Do you remember when your kids took their first steps? Have you ever seen a child just take their first steps, get bold, get brave? What happens? It's one of the few times in your life that you're just applauded for doing very little. You just take one little step and a second step and they teeter and you're like, yeah! And I think they fall because you scare them. But you're clapping and they fall down. But what do you do as a parent? You take a finger, you lean down, and you go, so proud of you. Try it again. Try it again. I've never met a parent or seen a parent that when a little child takes a step and falls, they look at the infant and go, what's wrong with you? Why are you not getting this? Just walk. No. Some of you, I feel like maybe there's someone in the room today, you feel like you're not doing enough. You feel like you're not strong enough. You feel like you're not moving in the direction that you're supposed to go. I want you to know the Father's saying today that He delights in you. He delights in you. Just take a step. Because even when you fall, the gentleness of God is that He is there to pick us up and say, just keep moving, just keep moving. You know, I can't help as I conclude, I can't help but see the parallel. I mean, the same Jesus, right, that Lily read the scripture so beautifully, that He's just up on a mountainside. He's praying, but He sees the disciples. He sees them, and they're struggling on the Sea of Galilee and the wind and the waves. And Jesus doesn't watch from a distance, but He sees the struggling in Mark's gospel, and He walks to them. He goes to them. And I think about the Great Commission, right? One of the last things that we have from Jesus where He said, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever, for I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the age. And we love the Great Commission, but I love to just rewind just a few verses, Matthew 28:16. The disciples, they all come together, and the 11 are, it says that they're worshiping Him, but some of them doubted. I've always been fascinated by that one word in the context of that one moment. They're doubting. What are they doubting? Let me tell you what they're not doubting. They're not doubting the divinity of Jesus. He just walked out of an empty tomb. They're not doubting who He was or who He said He was. They were doubting themselves. They're looking at who Jesus was, how they're going to be like Jesus in the face of persecution, in the face of all of the uncertainty that is ahead of them. And my friends, it's right there in the midst of their stumbling in their faith that Jesus smiled at them. And He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So I just say to you, go, walk, just go. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. What are we teaching them? To obey all things that I have commanded you. Stay right here, guys. Stay right here within the context of the word. I've given you everything you need to know. And in these words, so beautiful. Oh, and by the way, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the age. So Central Houston, a message that I've been preaching to myself every day since I've become senior pastor, since I've stepped into this role, and a message that I pray and never stop preaching to myself is this: remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. His promises are true. We just need to keep our eyes locked on Jesus. And then, to God be the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people said, amen. Let me pray for us now. Father, I thank You for this word. Lord, it's just so comforting. There's so much comfort in Your word. But yet at the same time, Father, I believe there are hearts in this space today. Father, we just look at, maybe it's a diagnosis, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a struggle. Father, maybe there's someone in this room today that's never fully surrendered their life to You. God, I just pray within the conviction of this word that we would lift our eyes and be reminded where our help comes from.